What a farce. What a farce. What a farce. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. What a farce. What a farce is meditation. Every one of us say we're meditating. We're saying we're being still, we're being quiet. We're listening within. We're meditating. We're meditating. And yet, if we were to really hold ground with ourselves for 2 or 3 minutes while we're in meditation, which is about the length of time of our meditation, what would you have recorded yourself thinking during that time? During that time, you would have thought everything under the sun. You would have thought about your lunch. You would have thought about what you're going to do in the afternoon, or in the morning, or in the evening, or whatever time of day it is. You would have thought of some other person. You would have thought how lovely something was, or how not nice something was. And when you finish with your meditation, you say, ah, good, got it off my chest. Well, that's not what meditation is all about. Meditation is like taking a shot. Kind of interesting way to look at it. Meditation is like taking a shot. So, if you want to go into introspection or meditation, you take a shot of some sort of chemical, you know, some sort of drug, and it knocks you out. And all your mind does is think about all the crazy things that are going on in the world and all the things, but you're consciously unconscious. You're unaware. And you think that, gee, I'd like to be able to meditate like that. You just zonk, go off into my meditation. But when you're in a drug-induced meditation, you're in no better meditation than you are when you're in a normally induced meditation, when you just say, I'm going to meditate. Now, what are the ingredients that lead to a beneficial, harmonious, and fulfilling meditation? Repeat what I said. What are the ingredients
that lead to
beneficial
meditation?
Ellen, you want to try it? You want to try it anywhere? What are the ingredients that lead to a beneficial, harmonious, what?
Harmonious, positive, loving thoughts.
At least. What is it that leads us into a meditation that makes us feel satisfied when we come out of our meditation? Well, I think, really, if we could compare the meditation to a runner. The runner is running, and he's running, and he's running. Now, you think the runner is thinking about the other people in the race. Well, he's not. You think the runner is thinking about other things, and he's not. The runner is thinking about running. He's thinking about running, running, running. And if you could really be inside of his mind, you would see that he's just thinking about running. And then the runner's body says, hey, I'm tired, I want to rest. And the runner says, no, no, I got to run. I got to race. And so he says, just take a second breath. And so he takes a deep breath, and he tells his body this, and then he does it. He takes a deep breath, and he keeps running, and all of a sudden, it's just as though he had just started the race, as though he just began. And he is still in that total out of it meditation aspect where he's only thinking about running. If you were to ask runners in races or any types of really athletes what they're doing while they're playing tennis, what they're doing while they're doing anything. Ellen has a granddaughter who plays tennis and is quite good at it. And when she gets out there on the tennis court, she grits her teeth. She grits up her body. She says, I am a winner. And then she gets in there, and her only thought is about that ball. Her only thought is where that ball is and how that ball is and how that person over there is responding to her charisma. And she is the master. And she's saying, I'm in charge, I'm in charge, I'm in charge, I'm in charge. All the time she's saying that. All the time. Now, is she having an effective, harmonious, positive meditation?
Yes.
Boy, you should say that again. She's having an effective, positive, harmonious meditation because she is one-pointed. One-pointed. The runner is one-pointed. All athletes basically are one-pointed. They are out to get the ball. Now, in soccer or baseball or football, they have to be aware of many things, but they're one-pointed. Their point is to somehow receive the ball and send the ball and process it to accomplish what they want to accomplish. They're one-pointed. Now, they may be broader in their scope of their one-pointedness insofar as they have to think what the other players are doing and where their position is and where the goal is, whether the goal is now this way or that way, you know, depending upon which direction they're playing. And sometimes they can screw them up too, you know. And here you just bought a guy from another team and he was on a team that always played east to west and now he's on a team that plays west to east and he's got to readjust himself. And he does. But meditation is a matter of putting our thought, putting our attitudes, putting our mental attitude in the direction that we want it to go. Just think when you go into meditation that you're running a race. And so you're going to deep breathe. Almost hyperventilate, just deep breathe. And then when you're done deep breathing, then you just sit back and relax and say, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. And as you say them, you sink into an attitude of peace. You sink into an attitude of awareness of peace. And all of a sudden, all ideas of peace, all concepts of peace, all emotions and all the dynamics of peace converge upon your body and your mind and your being so that you're at peace. And no matter what happens around you, you're not disturbed about it. You could be sitting in the car with someone else driving. You know, not you driving, but you can sit in the car with somebody else driving and you go into your peaceful meditation. And that person can blissfully be talking to you, saying all sorts of things, just talking away, and you're not hearing one single word because you are in your meditation. Now, do you need to go into a cathedral to meditate? It's nice. Do you need to go into a forest, into tall trees? You look up and see the beautiful tall trees. Do you need to sit in your garden and look at your flowers? Do you need to be stroking your cat or your dog? That's not bad. Do you need to be doing anything? You don't need to be doing anything. But when you enter into meditation, you enter into meditation not because you planned it, but because you planned it. Now, what I'm saying is, when you train yourself to go into meditation, train yourself, every time you say meditation, you think one-pointed, and you don't know what you're going to meditate on, but you think one-pointed, and so whatever it is you're going to meditate about, you're thinking one-pointed about what you are meditating about, okay? Mm-hmm. So, then you're sitting stroking the cat, and all of a sudden your mind says, ah, I see Mark having a very successful day building his airplanes. Yes, then I meditate about Mark having a successful day building his airplanes, and I'm stroking the cat, and I'm breathing properly, and I'm doing everything properly, and I'm just seeing Mark a wonderful success, a wonderful success, a wonderful success. And then I take a deep breath. I'm done. You know? Now, I hadn't planned on going into meditation. I was just sitting there stroking the cat, and I just happened to think about Mark, and I thought about, gee, I see him surrounded by success in everything he does. Broop, 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 you know? And one-pointedly, and I didn't make it happen, but I trained myself ahead of time that whenever I think of meditation, I think of a deep breath first, for instance, in many, many other ways, but a deep breath first, and then a relaxation, and then not another thought, peace. And then the first thought that comes in my mind, I take that as my meditation. And the thought may be, gee, I'm a good-looking guy. Please! Did you see how she laughed when I said I'm a good-looking guy? See, I don't tell anybody I'm a good-looking guy. But the thing is, see, this is what you do. And so, do you think I have any trouble seeing that?
No.
And when I say... that you didn't need to say.
No.
Not to see you as a handsome guy.
Ellen?
Yeah.
I said, do you think I have any trouble seeing myself as a handsome guy? And you are such a magnanimous, positive, generous, unconditionally loving person, you don't have to get feedback off of my experience. And so instead of saying, neither me, I always like myself too. That's not the point. You say, I can understand very well why you like yourself. I can understand why all the world likes you. I can see why everybody in the world thinks you're just a great... That's the point.
That's what I mean.
But that's what you got to say.
Yeah.
Aim it out.
Right.
Aim it out. Because what happens, Ellen, when you aim it out?
It comes back.
What happens when you aim it out?
It's me, my reflection.
My God, yes.
Whee!
Where did it come from, Sylvia? Where did it come from, Sylvia?
From me.
Shut up. Where did it come from, Sylvia?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, where did it come from?
From within myself.
Is that right, Ingeborg? Is that right, Ingeborg? Ingeborg, is that right?
Yes.
Shut up. You're not Ingeborg. Now, when I look at you and say somebody else's name, I'm talking to somebody else. I'm just confusing you, shaking up your boat. But when I talk, and of course she got just as shook as you did. She had to answer for you, you know. And you all do this. Shut up. Answer for yourself. Answer for yourself. Are you the most beautiful person on earth?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Are you the most glorious lady in the world?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Are you the most desirable lady in the world?
Yes, I am.
Am I the most fantastic man in the universe?
Yes, you are.
Shush up. You can say, yes, you are. But yes, I am. Yes, I am. You see, I have to speak this and know this for myself. Now, you can say something like, I can understand why that's so. You know? Or, everybody would see that, surely. You know, that's so obvious that you're the most fantastic guy in the world. But, you know, make it something that cannot come back. That cannot come back to you. Because if it comes back to you, then you haven't given it out. Then it's not unconditional love. But in your meditation now, which is what we're talking about, in your meditation, are you able just to, because of your practice, just drop right into meditation the moment you think of something meditative? Can you be like Brother Lawrence and scrub the floor and be meditating?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you, in all the work that you do, in all the types of things that you do, be in a state of meditation, in a state of, indeed, bliss?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. That wasn't hard to answer to, was it? No.
Yes.
Yes. Now, what is bliss? Ha, 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 ha. Bliss is when you are doing whatever you're doing, but you're living in a state of total peace, of bliss, however you want to describe bliss, which is joy and harmony and peace and good stuff. You understand that?
It's just a wonderful feeling.
It's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. Bill Hollingsworth, from the United Church Religious Science, whatever his name is, he had a program. I forgot the name of it. That day, it's a wonderful day or something like that, you know. But anyhow.
Hornaday.
Bill Hornaday, yeah. Yeah. Something about a day. It's a wonderful day. And this program was very well received, radio program, all over the world. It was, you know, spread out to very nicely done. But, Bill Hornaday, yeah, he did a good job. Isn't that something when you try to remember something right on the tip of your tongue? But anyhow, meditate on it. Just meditate and let it go and release it and watch what happens. And when you pet a dog, don't pet the dog. Just stroke him gently and let your mind drift into your meditation. When you're washing the windows, just wash each window with such charm and love. Don't look for the dirt. Look for the cleanness of the window. That's what you're doing it for. You're not looking for the dirt. You're looking for make sure every area of the window is clean. Not that you go to the dirty areas. It's just that every area is clean. Yeah. Now, when you're washing dishes, when you're making a meal, each one of your dishes that you prepare should be a piece de resistance, you know. It should be a lovely masterpiece of salad, and instead of having great big stalks of salad sticking out there, have maybe 3/4-inch stalks, you know, that are easy to pick up and easy to eat and easy to work with. Because have you ever tried to use your knife and fork and cutting a salad in your thing? I thought, you know, I'm such a an interesting person when I eat salads. I've never really paid attention to how other people do it. And I think what I should do sometime is just watch how other people eat their salads and then maybe watch somebody in high society. Go to a very expensive restaurant, and a salad restaurant mainly, and watch how people eat salads and learn, you know, what the techniques are for eating salad. Because you're cutting these salads on your plate and you're trying to make it in mouthful bites and stuff. And that could be done all ahead of time and just beautifully done. And then they could be almost like a slip and glove going down and just really beautifully done. But you see, make everything you do a delightful meditation. And when you do that, why is it that when people make a special cake and put cream in it, special ice cream with foam on it, or cake, or ice cream, whatever, and they always want to do what? On top.
A topping, cream, and nuts and a cherry.
A cherry. Nuts, not so much, but a cherry. A cherry is the piece de resistance. It goes on the top that sort of says, this is a masterpiece. And a hot fudge sundae has always got a cherry on top. And a maraschino cherry. And this, nobody really cares about the maraschino cherry, but you got to eat it because that's the specialty of the house. That's the specialty. Anybody who shoves the cherry to one side and doesn't eat it is showing very poor manners. Very poor manners. So, but meditate on these things. Let your meditation flow through everything you do. And as you do it, you'll find that meditation will become more and more effective for you, and that the moment you get a ruffle in your nerve system, you know, tension or uptightness or anxiety, the moment that happens, deep breath and meditate and say, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. And just watch the miracle of meditation work for you like it does for me. Have a good day. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.